Over the weekend, 90-year-old legend Chuck Berry died, and he was a man who was iconic in the world of rock. He was a pioneer, according to the man that Bob Dylan called him, the Shakespeare of rock and roll. But he did have a tumultuous and controversial life as well. So, I mean, just shed a little bit of insight with us, Tim. I mean, Chuck Berry is often called the father of rock and roll, second only to its king, if you will, Elvis Presley. Yeah, can you tell us why that is?
Well, I think Chuck Berry has as much of a claim to have invented rock and roll as pretty much anyone else. Like, if you look at, you know, the big bands of the 1960s that took rock and roll and turned it into like a multi-billion-dollar empire, like the likes of the Rolling Stones and Elvis and Bob Dylan, who you mentioned before, and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, even, all of them were using Chuck Berry riffs. All of them, covered him or stole from him. Bob Dylan's Subterranean Homesick Group Blues is very much like Chuck Berry's Too Much Monkey Business. The Beach Boys' Surfin' USA is really closely based on Sweet Little 16, to the extent that Chuck Berry now has a credit on it. All those bands were in Chuck Berry's image. There's a great quote from a TISM song, the Australian band TISM in the 90s, a quote in that song which is along the lines of, Paul McCartney once said that the Sex Pistols were just another band playing Chuck Berry. At the time, I thought, wow, what a wanker. And now I think it's just really scary. Like, his influence is just all over rock and roll.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there is a very quite funny few little breakaway quotes of what Chuck Berry thought of punk rock when it first came out, and a few bands that he'd heard. And it was, pretty much saying nothing new here. I've pretty much seen there, done that, and they even borrow a little bit from me, I believe he said. Take us through some of kind of Berry's best performances, because he was a great live performer, wasn't he?
Well, in terms of live performances, there's the classic movie Hail Hail Rock and Roll, that's sort of about him and about rock and roll, and some great performances in that. But then, in the studio, in sort of live performances, like when he was recording in 1955, 56, 57, everything was a live recording. There was no auto-tune back then, definitely, but there was also no overdubs or anything like that. Everyone was playing live. They were performances in a way that they're not quite the same today. So there's beautiful performances in Maybelline, his first big single. It's so energetic and so live and so so joyous. It's beautiful to listen to.
Now, Chuck Berry was a character. He did polarize, especially away from his music. So I suppose I want to ask a bit about his first stint in prison, which was a 20-month stint, which was under the Mann Act in the USA, where it was basically around the movement of a 14-year-old Apache prostitute in America. And there was quite a lot of controversy at the time. And although he did appeal his sentence twice and had it lowered and lowered again, this surely will affect how he's remembered.
It's interesting you say that, because it's actually not his first prison sentence. His first prison sentence was earlier, before his rock and roll career, when he was found in a stolen car. Like, the police flagged down a stolen car, and he was in the car, and so he was sent to prison. So this is actually his second time. It's funny about, Chuck Berry was a successful black man from the south of the USA, and he was... The nightclub where the woman was working, allegedly as a hat check girl, was an integrated mixed nightclub in the south of the USA. And so this was controversial for those times, before the Civil Rights Act in America. And so it's sometimes hard to tell with this particular thing how much of it was a beat up and how much of it was Chuck Berry being a dickhead, being a sexual predator. He certainly had that in him. There's, the story from, he had a nightclub later on, and there's a story that he'd bugged the women's toilets so he could find footage of women doing their thing in the bathroom. And that's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, you'd have to say so. And so on that, Tim, I suppose you think about some very famous stars and living, and also who have passed away now. They do often leave behind kind of these fraught legacies. I suppose a lot of people would still want to celebrate Chuck Berry's influence on music, but might not so much celebrate his character. Is it possible for people to do that? Because that's a often a hotly debated issue about how you celebrate artists with kind of those fraught or troubled legacies?
My opinion is basically that if you have discovered an artist before and come to love their music before you discover anything about their character that's unfavorable, that's unpleasant, then you tend to be able to, or you tend to not be able to stop liking the music. Like if you've discovered Chuck Berry at the age of 10 and you've only kind of figured out some of his more unsavory kind of stuff later on, you can't, you know, you can't sort of unfeel the good feelings that all his music has brought you. But I think one of the things with that is that, like, in terms of his legacy of music, it's undeniable. You can't sort of, you can't write him out of music history because he was a dickhead, because he was into disgusting things. And I think there's an element of which, like, a guy like him, who was a black guy from the South in the 50s, who actually managed to have like a run of success, which was pretty long, and actually managed to change music. Like he lived for 60 something years after he first got successful, which is amazing. He saw the world change as a result of stuff he did, and there's something amazing about that. I think for a black guy from those times, he probably had to be a pretty hard, cynical, cold man to deal with some of the shit he had to put up with. And I think that comes out in a lot of these stories of like people like him or James Brown who have unsavory things that they do. I think the same drive and force and strength of will that gets them to the position that they got to is also part of why they do the shitty stuff they do.
Yeah, I suppose for some people they wouldn't want to remember. There, you know, there are people who may be victims of Chuck Berry in terms of what the 14-year-old Apache woman is. You know, quite clearly a victim, I think, by if you're found guilty by court, she must be considered a victim kind of of him. And so it does create kind of some interesting questions about, you know, how do we, you know, do we discern from the artist and the artist's work? And I personally, I think you can discern the two. And it's interesting to hear you do too, Tim. If you've got any opinions, if you're listening at home, do tweet in at us on @2SER. Hey, can you tell us about some of the musicians, like you did earlier, and the styles, more importantly, that have been influenced by Berry's work?
Oh, it's all over rock and roll. If you play a rock and roll beat, like just the standard rock and roll beat, that's kind of the first one that everyone learns, like the boom boom dum boom boom dum boom boom. That's Chuck Berry. If you play a guitar that goes dun 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 dun, that's Chuck Berry, and that's like Chuck Berry was saying, that's every punk band, that's like most rock and roll bands. That's like plenty of Bruce Springsteen, that's plenty of what Beatles do, that's plenty of what Bob Dylan does. Almost everyone who's gone on to become really successful rock and roll as a rock and roll act has something from Chuck Berry. Like he's inescapable in rock and roll. There's an argument that rock and roll is everything that was influenced by Chuck Berry. The pop rock is like the world that we live in now is everything that was influenced by Chuck Berry.
Is it safe to say without Chuck Berry, rock and roll would not be what it is?
Yeah, rock and roll would be different without Chuck Berry, because he was the first guy who wrote stories in rock and roll. Like he as a lyricist, he would tell these stories. He would paint pictures. He would, paint a world of people driving around in their automobiles. The imagery of rock and roll, all that kind of 50s thing of people in these big Cadillacs, convertibles, like driving around, like listening to the radio. All of that kind of imagery comes from Chuck Berry. Like he was the first rock and roll lyricist. And so of course he's going to influence like someone like Bob Dylan, who, like you said, called him the Shakespeare of rock and roll, who was a rock and roll guy, who was a lyricist. He was the first person to really write rock and roll lyrics like that that weren't just, you know, Baby Baby or What Bob Blew Up or What Bam Boom. Like, you know, he was the person who did that first. And as rock and roll became an art form, like rather than just music for teenagers, as rock and roll started to try and do more ambitious things, like the Sgt. Pepper's of the world and like, you know, the big concept albums, he was one of the lights that guided that.
And I suppose, finally, it's in its infancy, the world reacting to his passing, but what do you think his overall legacy will be?
Well, his overall legacy is going to be that he changed the world. We live in a rock and roll world now. In 1954, before he started making music, the average music that the mainstream person was listening to sounded like Frank Sinatra. And now, even the music we listen to now, even the Katy Perrys and the Ed Sheerans of the world, their music comes from a world that's post-Chuck Berry. And so in terms of that, and in terms of indie rock, which has like more obviously Chuck Berry beats, he's just inescapable. His influence is just so massive and so huge over rock and roll that, yeah, and rock and roll has been so huge in terms of the way that people see themselves and the way that people interact with the world in Western culture in general.